For your displeasure, I will be in net control this evening. Membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary for participation. All licensed amateurs are properly licensed amateurs, I should say, are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are certainly welcome to listen. The net operates on the 147.060 repeater with a PL tone of 156.7 hertz. The net is held each Wednesday evening, starting at 7 p.m. local time, with various net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as experienced amateurs. The purpose of the net is to provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio. It's also to promote the good fellowship among amateur radio operators and encourage the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset. The TIPS net is a directed open net, and that means we call for a round of check-ins. When we have everyone checked in, we'll go down to the list for comments and questions. During the check-in period, please make sure you state whether you have a question or comment for the net. And then we will ask for your questions once everyone is checked in. There are three sections to the TIPS net. The first, the open net with the rounds of questions and comments. Second is a section for announcements, upcoming events, items of interest of amateur radio. And third, there's an opportunity for those wishing to swap, sell, or possibly seeking items in the amateur radio realm. Unless otherwise directed, all communication should be directed to net control station. When checking in, please say, "This is," and release the mic exactly like this. And listen to ensure no one else has called the same time that you have. Then please slowly give your call sign phonetically, along with your name and location, and state whether you have a comment or a question for the net. At this time, I'm ready for check-ins. This is Dave, Kilo 1 at Delta Charlie Tango, your net control. Please come with your call sign slowly.
Good evening. Here is Kilo Alpha 6, Papa Delta Golf, Kevin in Norwich with one question.
Here is Kilo Bravo 1, Mike Delta Foxtrot. I got one question as well.
Nice call up. At this time, the net control recognizes KA6PDG with a question, KB1MDF with a question, NK1V, nothing at this time. KC1TWR, nothing at this time. NW1FJW, nothing at this time. Are there any further check-ins before we get into the questions on the table? Please call now. This is your net control, K1DCT, Delta Charlie Tango. All right, very good. Well, that keeps me from talking about my topics, which are always super important, kiddingly. Let's get on to see what Kevin has. K6PDG, let's go ahead with your question. This is K1DCT in the Tipstat.
All right, thank you, Dave, and I'll be as verbose as possible. just kidding. Good evening to the net, KA6PDG. Well, so this has to do with grounding of antennas and antenna masts and so forth. Turns out I do, in fact, have an antenna problem over here with the new MFJ antenna that you, Dave, and Kevin X put up for me a couple of weeks ago. In the windstorm the other night, it somehow became dislodged or partially dislodged from its mounting and is leaning up against my Discone antenna. The Discone I use is a scanner antenna, so that part isn't the end of the world. But, of course, the MFJ antenna is not working properly. Underline, exclamation point. So as WA1RAE was looking at this with me this morning up on the top deck there, he made two comments that were of interest to me. One, he told me he thought that my Ringo Ranger, which is sort of a backup antenna and is not always used, and is actually going to be replaced soon by the X50A, should be on a metal pole rather than a PVC pole. And the other thing he commented about was that antenna poles should be grounded, and that if you have metal poles that are not grounded, you invite all kinds of noise and so forth, which might be the reason I'm having a problem with the radio station up the street, being able to hear them on all sorts of weird HF frequencies. So I guess the question is this. What is your opinion, oh amateurs on the net? Do you ground your poles? Do you make sure that your poles are made of metal? Or do you mast? Let's say, when I say pole, I mean mast. Same thing, I think. Or do you use PVC like I've been using with some regularity? So, there you go. Dave, I'll leave it to you to put that into a 10 or 12 word question. Ha ha ha. KA6PDG, back to net.
All right, Kevin, this is K1DCT and the TIPSnet. Yes, I talked with RAE this afternoon, and he mentioned a couple of things that, honestly, the other day or last week, whatever it was, I didn't even notice. I was so concerned with the task at hand, but I am in full agreement that Ringo should be on a metal pole, and yes, antenna mast should be grounded. Actually, Kevin X and I had discussed that a little bit. We probably need to do some grounding at your place, antenna masts and radios, and just in general. So. But we'll see what the others think. I'm a big fan of grounding, although I can't say everything here is grounded exactly per code, but so far so good. So with that, we'll go to Joe, KB1MDF, and you can comment on what's the question on the table, and feel free to throw in your next question. This is K1DCT in the Tipstat.
is KB1MDF. I totally agree with the grounding. Matter of fact, I've been trained, I wouldn't say trained, but my job in the military was communications. We always put up the antennas with 6-foot ground rods next to them. We grounded it, we grounded a shelter, we grounded everything. Totally a fan of grounding. Matter of fact, I think the antenna I'm using right now is grounded. But I'm also wondering, is everybody else receiving the Salem machine with no signal meter? Because usually I get it as a 7. I spun the beam to where it should be, and I am still getting zero S0s, but it's fully readable. I'm wondering if I'm having a radio issue as well. This is KB1MDF.
Alright, and I'm getting, you're fully readable, Joe, but getting a little bit of, as it's been termed, the frying egg noise in the background, but you're fully readable, and I am getting the Salem machine full strength there, and I have about 20 dB of attenuation dialed in, so... you know, my opinion at this point, it's on your end, but we'll see what others have to think. Let's get on to Steve, NK1V, see how you're receiving the Salem machine up there in the wilds of Coventry, and what you have to think about Kevin's grounding issue. And there are several. NK1V in the group with the TIPSnet. This is K1DCT.
Yes, very good. NK1V. This repeater is coming in great here. Everybody is coming in well. I'm only leaving here with less than 20 watts. I am beaming towards it with a 5-element beam. KB1MDF, you're quite, I wouldn't say weak, there's a lot of white noise behind you. You're completely legible, but a lot of white noise behind you, so I'm not sure what's up with that. Everybody else seems to be on their normal sound, audio I should say. Let me reset. Yeah, and the grounding, I've just always made a habit, even I run some J-poles and stuff, which technically to function don't need to be grounded, but I try to keep my masses. I have a massive ground system for my tower, and I try to keep everything metal to metal all the way up. The only time I did not, I had a horizontal on the 2-meter horizontal on the rotator. And there was a vertical below it, or above it, I think below it, and I went fiberglass for the rest of the way up just to, you know, to reduce the interference on the horizontal, and that one eventually was removed by the wind, not by any form of electricity, so that didn't work in the end. But so far as, like, when I'm mobile, like camping or something like that, I do have I think you said you had an X50, Kevin. I have the smaller one, the 30. That I've used for some portable use, and let me reset. I've used it for some portable use, and it has those three little, I guess they're ground plane things sticking out the edge there, because it's a very, very portable little antenna. And I'll usually just stuff that up on whatever, like a fiber. I have some fiberglass poles that fits and such, but it's only a temporary situation, and I really can't say if it is noisy or not, because most campgrounds with RVs and such and power supplies and all those kind of things going on are just a breeding ground for you know, noises, you know. So it's I can't really judge. I've never really run one like that here. I always even my one right by the shack is that pipe is set to have a few things on. Yeah, I have quite a few antennas. That's very well grounded also. I do it more out of trying to reduce, you know, static discharge and that other big energy that comes from Mother Nature. But, you know, I've never run without it, and I probably never will, because it just seems like the right thing to do. Back to Net and K1B.
All right, Steve. Well, thank you for your comments, and I agree. I mean, you know, you got to I learned a lot about grounding in my time in the utility company, electric utilities. Grounding was a big thing. So let's see what Tim has to add, say, maybe bring something up that he didn't think about. KC1TWR, this is K1DCT in the tip stand. Get himself an amateur radio license, maybe. let's see what Chuck has to say about bonding, or grounding, Ringo on a PVC pipe, and how he's receiving the Salem machine signal. So, W1FJW. K1DCT in the tip stand.
Well, I cannot see the S-meter at the Salem site, so I don't know how strong Joe is into the repeater, but he's enough for quieting, so an S1 is as good as a 50 over 9, so I'd say getting in fine. Now on the other problem, other question, yes, the antennas and the masts should not only be grounded to a 6 or 8 foot rod, good luck with getting it into Connecticut soil, it should also be bonded to the power ground for the building so that if lightning strikes nearby or you get certain kinds of faults in the power company equipment and the voltage at the power ground differs from the voltage at the antenna ground, you don't get fault current flowing through the grounding conductors of your radio and power supply, which can be pretty disastrous. Yeah, 6 or 8 foot ground rod is good, but to also some number 6 wire to the power panel would be a good idea also. Back to net, W1FJW.
All right, very good comments, Chuck, and I fully agree. All those, that total bonding, everything at one point, that equipotential plane is the way to go. Unfortunately, and I did not confirm this, when I was over there with Kevin X, he had a previous visit found out that even the electric service was not properly grounded, so I'm not sure what we're going to do over there. It might be a multi-trip, sort of thing to get Kevin, well, I don't know if we'll ever get Kevin straightened out, but try and get his station straightened out would be the ultimate goal. So we've gone down through the list and we've talked about grounding and the Salem machine. At this point, I'll take a little break and look for other check-ins or waiting to comment on what's been talked about. Please come now with your call sign slowly. This is K1 Delta, Charlie Tango, your net control. All right, not hearing any. I guess, keeping him away as best I can. Let's go back down up to the top of the list, and we'll go down to the list and see what everybody thinks so far. So KS6PDG, do you have any additional questions, follow-up? Are you satisfied with what has been said so far? Go ahead. This is K1DCT in the TIPSnet.
Well, I've been told for years that I'm not very well grounded. I don't need to tune into a ham radio net to learn that. Hi. No, very worthy and interesting comments. And yeah, there are some real major challenges with respect to grounding over here because the house is old. The electrical system is very old. But, I guess that'll be the project for the new year. Changing that pole from the PVC to the metal, that's not going to be a problem. But, excuse me, grounding will be a whole different book to write. But we are amateurs. We use imagination and creativity and knowledge and all that stuff. So, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. And it helped me out. I want to speak for a moment to Joe's question. And he did say that he has his beam pointed at where it should be for the repeater. Of course, propagation can change. You can have multipaths. Sometimes you find that with a beam pointing at a passive repeater like a hill or a mountain or a building can sometimes work better than actually pointing at the repeater. But what I really wanted to comment on was sort of listening to Tim's remarks. And how do we tell when the noise that we're hearing in a QSO on the repeater, how do we tell when it's between the other station and the repeater and when it's between the repeater and our station? So in Tim's case, how does he know if the noise is between Joe and the repeater, or he's hearing noise between the repeater and his house, meaning Tim? And the answer is, if you listen to the repeater after the other user, in this case Joe, unkeys his mic, and let me reset. There's like with this repeater, there's about 2 or 3 seconds, probably more like 2 right now, between the time that Joe unkeys his mic and the time that the repeater drops. In that period of, I'm saying 2 seconds as a guess, you have the courtesy tone on this repeater, doo-doo-doo, you know. But listen to that signal. If you don't hear the noise on the repeater's signal itself when the other user, Joe, is not transmitting, then that means that the noise you're hearing on Joe is somewhere between Joe and the repeater. If you do hear the noise after Joe unkeys his mic, and it doesn't go away until the repeater transmitter drops 2 seconds later, then it's between the repeater and you, you meaning Tim in this example, period. So maybe that's helpful. That's one thing to listen for, because sometimes I hear people say, well, you're kind of noisy, but it might be between me and the repeater. And usually, there are exceptions, because if you normally have noise between you, Tim, and the repeater, then it might be a little confusing which noise are you hearing when Joe's transmitting, because you have both sets of static or noise at play. Hopefully that's a little bit clear. Remember, I'm not very well grounded, so I'm doing the best I can. K6PDG, back to net.
Okay, I just had to take a minute there to try and digest some of that. I feel like I'm back in junior high, which is what they called it back then, not middle school. And, you know, two trains leave, one train leaves New York and one leaves Boston at the same time, and which way the smoke goes. Whoa. Okay. No, I think I got it. And I think what you said is accurate, Kevin, which I hope nobody else heard that, because I would hate to say that out loud over the air, but I think you described it pretty accurately. So the only other option is if you can hear them on the input. So you can tell, you know, are they putting out a good signal or you can't hear them at all. So with that, let's go back to Joe and see what he thinks about what has been said so far. And if he has any follow-up questions, KB1MDF. This is K1DCT in the TipsNet.
This is KB1MDF. While everybody was talking, I was using the signal as information. And turns out, through all the examples and all the experimenting I was doing, my TV rotor, you know, the old rotors that were on for TV antennas, I rotated my beam and it's slipping, and or it's frozen because of the temperature. I was able to get it somewhat down and got an S5 out of the signal, so I'm halfway there. I cranked up the power to full, and so I should be full quieting, but I no longer have a beam. It's till spring, so I can get up there and not some cold to fix it. So I kind of sympathize with you, Kevin. Antenna issues. This is KB1MDF, back to net. After net, Kevin, I'd like to talk to you about traffic. KB1MDF.
All right, very good, Joe. I hope Kevin copied that you'd like to talk about traffic, but then something happened there and a couple of cover tones came on, so I don't know what you said after that. If you'd like to repeat it, go ahead now.
Nope, I did not have anything else. After making the comment of after the net, I'd like to talk to Kevin, KA6PDG, if you don't mind, about the national traffic system. I didn't say anything after past that, otherwise turning it back to the net. KB1MDF.
All right, very good, Joe. No, I just heard a couple of the cover tones come up and wanted to make sure that the message was complete. So, NK1V, Steve, any follow-up or anything else you'd like to add? Something popped into your head? This is K1DCT in the TipsNet.
Yeah, Kevin, those are all valid points. I was kind of doing my listening myself, and prior to the last transmission, it was true that everybody else's, all the tails were coming through clear. Everything was coming through clear, except for Joe's transmission was had an issue, but it is no longer having an issue. Joe, you're full quieting here, and so I'm assuming everywhere else also. Very legible, you know, 100%. So it's what you're doing now is working, and yeah, those other, the rotors from like the television and stuff, I didn't even realize it until I started looking at, you know, like researching the rotor that I acquired for my tower, which is a, I don't know the brand name or anything, but it's a ham cell, you know, for ham radio, and you know, it has a brake on it, and it also has a potentiometer on it, so I can actually, once I set it, which I, the last time I'm off a little bit, so I've had to mentally adjust for that, which is a trick, because I'm not going back up to it right now. Let me reset. You know, they hold their position through most conditions, unless the clamps are loose or something like that. And like I say, also I know the position down here by the needle. But the other ones are, I think I heard someone on one of the repeaters talking about this earlier this week when I was just sandbagging. And what I call time over time. There's, you know, there's just the motor is calibrated to be a certain time on the rotor, and the motor inside the controller is calibrated to be a certain time. And if everything works great, and you turn it 30 seconds to the, you know, the right, you know, clockwise, it'll turn 30 seconds clockwise and stop, but that's really all you're getting. The rest of it's a mystery. And I remember when, as a kid, when everybody had those on their house, I remember it was a family project to reset the TV antenna. You know, someone, my father up on the roof, and someone in the living room, and someone in the yard, and relaying back and forth. It was quite fun. And I guess that's why, I never understood why we all did that, but now I do. Back to that, NK1B.
All right, very good, Steve. This is K1DZT in the TIFF set. And, yes, resetting the TV rotor. I remember those days. And, you know, of course, go along with that, the drift off topic. Although, you know, I'm certainly not on position all the time, but you know, when you're resetting a rotor like that, and then you get into the argument of what's true north and magnetic north and who's using the compass and all that kind of fun stuff. So anyway, with that, let's get on to Chuck, W1FJW. This is K1DCT in the TIPSnet. Any follow-up or further questions, comments?
Well, the procedure Steve alluded to would result in the rotor control unit and the rotor motor being in agreement with each other, but if the antenna twisted on the pipe or the pipe twisted on the rotor, then even though the rotor or rotator points north, when the indicator points north and they stay in good alignment, the antenna still might be headed east. Thing I used to do on the farm was I had certain stations that I marked down where they were supposed to be, and if something didn't come in, then I'd hunt out the strong ones to see what direction they were, and then say, ah, yes, the thing turned 45 degrees one way or the other, whichever it was, and then I just, it's a temporary measure, would recalculate with the error. Back to net, W1FJW.
Oh, yeah, so that's where you get into, you know, which way is it really heading, and those little teeth on those U-bolt connectors didn't always bite as hard as you thought they should. So, all right, we're at the bottom of the list again. We've been through twice. Is there anyone else like to check in to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet? Please call now. This is K1DCT, your net control. All right, well, unless anyone has any burning issues or follow-up comments, I'll leave a little space here before we move into the second section.
KA6PDG does.
And how did I know that? Go ahead, Kevin. K1DCT in the TipsNet.
Oh, but Dave, I'll be brief. You know me. Two things real quick. Question for maybe the net manager or for the folks on the net. Should we have a net next Wednesday night, which is the night before Thanksgiving? I'm thinking, yes, we should, but maybe Tim can dream up something really fun for the night before Thanksgiving on the net. The other thing is just to quickly reminisce, there was a time back in the Dark Ages, which some of you remember, I think everybody in Connecticut had to have a beam for their television set because you had two stations, Hartford and New Haven, and you were forever turning that thing back and forth depending on which station you wanted to watch. Then if you were in eastern Connecticut, like Norwich or Griswold or New London, you might be able to tune it northeast and get Providence, maybe even Boston. Ooh. And if you were down in Ridgefield or Danbury or Westport or Norwalk, you might be able to turn your antenna to the southwest and get New York. Ooh. K6PDG, 'tis all I have.
All right, well, very good, Kevin. Yes, I was here in eastern Connecticut, unfortunately, for way too long. But, yes, we got Channel 8 out of New Haven, Channel 3 out of Hartford, and Channel 10 out of Providence. And then Channel 12 was sometimes, I'm not sure where that was out of, maybe it was Boston. And then, of course, you could always get Channel 53 in Norwich on UHF, but they had a bunch of stupid stuff on there. So, just my opinion. And as far as next week, I don't see any reason why not, because nobody's going anywhere. Nobody's got any place to be. So, I'll be here. Not that that'll matter, but... That's just my opinion. You know, it'd be a good night to celebrate. It's a good day to be a ham and not a turkey. K1DCT in the TipsNet. Are there any last-minute check-ins before I move into the second section? Please call now. K1DCT in the TipsNet.
Kilo Charlie 1 Delta Whiskey Hotel, Nick in Green, Rhode Island.
All right, let me make sure I got that right. It's Kilo Charlie 1 Delta Whiskey Hotel. Is it Mick, like in Mike, India, Charlie, Kilo? Do I have that correct?
Nick, November, India, Charlie, Kilo, QSL.
All right, very good, Nick. Dub, just N and M, you know, they all sound alike. So, welcome. I don't know how long you've been listening. If you'd like to come in, make a few comments. We've been talking about grounding and signal reports from the Salem repeater. So, go ahead, KC1DWH, K1DCT in the TipsNet.
KC1DWH, Well, I've heard of the TIPSnet from Kevin and others on Raceon. Just happened to come into the shack. I had the heat on from earlier, and figured I would just say hello. And the repeater right now is coming about 5.7. This repeater is tough for me to get into sometimes, just depending upon propagation and whatnot. I'm a little farther away than the Norwich repeater, but I thought everyone is sounding fine, and just doing some, my club over here in Rhode Island, just doing some paperwork and minutes and bylaws and all types of fun things. So other than that, I'll turn it back to net control, KC1DWH.
Hi, very good, Nick. Glad to hear you. Feel free to jump in here anytime, TIPSnet, or anytime as far as I'm concerned. I'm not in charge of anything, but except this net at the moment. So good to hear you, and welcome to the Salem machine, even though Kevin kind of told you about it. You know, you got to watch Kevin. I'm kidding, of course. So with that, we'll move into the second section, which is announcements and upcoming events and items of interest of amateur radio. Anyone have anything that fits into that category? Please call now. This is K1DCT in the TIPSnet. I don't hear any announcements. Let's move into the third section. Anyone looking to sell, swap, or possibly seeking amateur radio related items, please call now. This is your net control, K1DCT. Then we'll make this the last call. It's a bit early, but that's okay. We'll let people move on. This is Kilo 1 Delta Charlie Tango, net control for the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TIPSnet. This is last call. Any additional check-ins, please call now.
Here is KA6PDG. I'm looking for a quick afternet with Steve in K1V.
In K1V, are you, would you like to answer Kevin on that? This is K1DCT.
Roger that. I'm available after the net and K1V or during the net, either way.
All right, very good. Well, then we've had last call. The chairs are going up on the bar. The lights are coming on. We're going to mop the floor. I'm going to close in there at this time. I want to thank all those that participated in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TIPSnet. And thank by and while we conducted the net. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net and has a meeting on the second Tuesday of each month, presently on the air at 7 p.m. on this repeater, and is open to all properly licensed persons to check into that net. Anyone is obviously able to listen is certainly welcome. Information about the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club can be found at www.tricityarc.org. I want to thank John, W1AN, for the use of this repeater. Listener, we'll meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I'll now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is your net control, Kilo 1 Delta, Charlie Tango. Good evening and 73rds and kind words.